Saints, our sermon text for this Lord's Day is from the Gospel of John, chapter 13, verses 36 through 38. Please listen carefully to the Word of God. Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus answered him, "Where I am going, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow afterward." Peter said to him, "Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for you." Jesus answered, "Will you lay down your life for me? Truly, truly, I say to you, the rooster will not crow till you have denied me three times." This is the word of God.
Thanks be to God.
Well, saints, I've read the text to you. You've heard it. It's the word of God, and it's a text that many of us are familiar with. It's a story that your garden variety unbeliever out in the street would probably have some familiarity with, of Peter denying the Lord Jesus three times before the rooster crowed. By the way, that time of day was accounted to be apparently between 12 a.m. and 3 a.m., interestingly. So as we come to this text, as I've often reminded you, working our way through the Gospel of John, because it is a narrative, it is history, it's intended to be read and believed as such, it's important for us to do our best with the imaginations that God has given us to put ourselves in the shoes of those about whom we are reading. To imagine what it must have been like to be them. And as we consider the two characters, the two persons who are the focus of these several verses, it's pretty obvious to us with whom we have more in common. Amen? Man, that cuts me to even say it to you. Who do I have more in common with here between Peter and Jesus? Well, we know the answer to that, don't we? The answer is not Jesus. The answer is Peter. We all sitting here have far more in common with Peter than we do with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because like Peter, we are sinners. And Jesus is not and never has been. And being sinners like Peter, we identify with weakness, with sinfulness, with failure, and with unfaithfulness. Unfaithfulness. We identify with that, don't we? You don't have to raise your hands, but I'll just ask a rhetorical question of all of us. Who here has ever been unfaithful in one way or another? See, unfaithfulness is characteristic of fallen men. The failure to follow through, the failure to remain faithful, especially when it gets hard, it's characteristic. Something we need to recognize about ourselves in our flesh and in our sin and our depravity is this, that we have a point of failure within ourselves. We are limited, finite creatures, and not only are we finite, we are also fallen. And because of that reason, our faithfulness is corrupt. You can think in terms of pottery. I don't know much about pottery, but I know this much, that after a vessel has been formed and it's put into the oven to be fired, if there's any flaw in that vessel, when it is put under the heat of the oven, it will break, it will crack. It will be proven to be flawed. And what we need to recognize about ourselves, what was proven about Peter, is that that is us. That's what we are like. That is what our faithfulness is like. It is flawed. And under sufficient heat, it will crack. It will fall apart. And Peter's example here is a reminder to us of this. Something for us to bear in mind. Yes, Peter is confronting all of us. The Holy Spirit, through Peter, is confronting all of us with our sinfulness, with our faultiness. And in confronting us with that sin, that weakness that is just inherent within us because of the fall, the Spirit of God in Peter and through Peter is showing us our need for Jesus. Why do we need Jesus? Well, because he's faithful. And he's faithful in a way you and I cannot be. His faithfulness never fails. No matter how much heat his vessel, the vessel of his body, was subjected to, he never cracked. He endured to the end. And you and I, like Peter, are not capable of that. And this is why we need Jesus. This is why we need Jesus. So let's walk through. Let's walk through this text. It's very brief. It's only three verses. Again, there's a lot happening here. And one thing I want to impress upon you, as I mentioned earlier, just a few moments ago, try to put yourself in Peter's shoes. Try to imagine being Peter and Jesus says these things to you. How would that hit you? How would that strike you to be told this by Jesus? Lord, I'll lay down my life for you. And then he looks at you and says, will you? Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. What? What do you do with that? It's interesting. There's no follow-up here. We can imagine Peter just kind of had a stunned silence in response to what Jesus said to him. He didn't know what to say. What do you follow that up? No, I won't. I'll show you. It's Jesus. I have to imagine that Peter was incredibly distraught over what he heard from the Lord Jesus. Incredibly distraught. That would have been me. That would have been my feeling. If the Lord Jesus had said those words to me, I would have felt awful. It would have destroyed me. It would have crushed me to be confronted with my weakness like that. To realize he knows me that well. He knows me better than I know myself. I think I'll lay my life down for him. I think I'll be faithful to him even to the death. But he knows me better than I know myself. That's kind of a frightening thing. It's also an encouraging thing. Here's why it's encouraging, right? Jesus knew this about Peter. And yet Jesus still loved Peter. Isn't that encouraging? Isn't that good news, saints? It is good news. Believe me, that is good news. Jesus saw Peter's flaw. He knew what Peter was going to do. And that had no effect whatsoever on Christ's love for Peter. None. Jesus still went to the cross. Jesus did not find Peter and say, that's it, buddy. You deny me three times. I'm not dying for you. That settles it. Why would I go and die for someone who denied me three times? That's not what Jesus did. Jesus went to the cross and died for Peter, having been denied by him three times. That did not stop Jesus from being faithful to Peter. Recognize this, saints. This is very important. Peter's unfaithfulness to Jesus had no bearing upon Jesus' faithfulness to Peter. Do you see it? No bearing. Jesus remained faithful in spite of Peter's unfaithfulness. And that's good for us to realize. It's good for us to recognize that about the Lord Jesus. And we're going to return to that point. But that's the good news we see here in this text. It's implicit and obvious from the context. Now we know, looking at verse 36, Peter's question is in response to Christ's statement in verse 33, where he tells his disciples, where I am going, you cannot follow. And Peter's question denotes that he did not understand what Jesus was talking about. He still had not grasped that the Lord Jesus was about to die. He did not understand that Jesus was about to go to the cross. That was not in his head, probably like the rest of the disciples at this point. They didn't realize what was happening. They would later, but at this point, they did not understand. They did not realize what was going on. Peter very clearly thought that the Lord Jesus was talking about changing his locations in the sense of, I'm going somewhere else to a different region, who knows what. That's what Peter thought he meant. Because Peter says, I'll go, why can't I go with you? Why can't I follow you? Why not? The cross was not in Peter's mind. So Peter is confused, and that is the context that we have to remember, that we have to bear in mind as we're interpreting this very brief conversation between the Lord Jesus and Peter. Peter is confused. He did not understand. And the Lord's response to him is interesting. He says to Peter, where I am going, you cannot follow me. Now, but he adds something. It's the same answer he had given, or the same thing he had said up in verse 33, but he adds something, right? Kind of puts a time stamp on there. Says, you cannot follow me now. Can't follow me now, but you will follow afterward. You will follow afterward. What does Jesus mean by this? You can't follow me right now, Peter, but afterward you will follow me. After what? After what, Lord? What do you mean, afterward? I will follow you. There's a lot for us to unpack here in our Lord's response to Peter. The first thing we need to remember is the point I made last week. In last week's sermon is that in saying that his disciples could not follow him, Christ was pointing to the fact that he alone was able to go ahead of them to the cross. He alone was able to offer himself for the sins of the world. He alone was able to bear the wrath of God that we justly deserve and that they justly deserve. Christ alone was able to bear that wrath upon his shoulders alone. And they needed him to do that for them. They could not go to the cross with Jesus to bear God's wrath together with him. They could not go with Jesus to offer their own flesh and blood in atonement for the sins of the world. They were not able to do that. They were actually dependent upon the Lord Jesus to do that for them, just like the rest of us. And so this answer that our Lord gives to Peter is a reminder to us again of our great dependency upon the Lord Jesus. That our salvation ultimately is dependent upon him and him alone and not upon ourselves. What have we contributed to his saving work upon the cross? The answer is our sin and our dependency upon him. That is our only contribution to Christ. He went alone. We were not able to follow him. We were not able to go to the cross with him. But we can expand upon this idea of Christ's disciples not being able to follow him. We can think of the temple. And we remember that great curtain that hung in the temple that separated the Holy of Holies from the rest of the temple in which the Ark of the Covenant had been placed. And the high priest only was able to enter into the Holy of Holies once a year on the Day of Atonement to make sacrifice for the nation of Israel. But the rest of God's people were never allowed, they were prohibited from ever entering in to the Holy of Holies. Only the high priest was able to do so. And do you remember what happened when our Lord died? What happened to that curtain? Matthew records it for us. That curtain was torn from top to bottom. Thanks be to God. And why was that? Because Jesus went ahead of us. This is what the author of Hebrews talks about in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 19 through 20. That the Lord Jesus has gone ahead of us as a forerunner into the presence of God on our behalf. And as the author of Hebrews goes on to say in chapter 10 and verses 19 through 22, that he has opened a new and living way through his own flesh by which we may draw near to God. But we needed Jesus to go ahead of us as that forerunner to present his own body to God as an offering for our sins. So there, that by through his body and the means of his body alone, we could therefore draw near to God. And instead of being condemned, instead receive justification and adoption and all of the other blessings and provisions that accompany salvation. So no, his disciples were not able to go with Jesus, especially then, just prior to his death. because Jesus alone would accomplish the work of redemption single-handedly by himself without any assistance or help or contribution from his disciples or any other men. That's a very important point that we need to bear in mind when it comes to understanding the gospel and when it comes to defining the gospel and sound doctrine, that Christ has accomplished the work of salvation single-handedly by means of his own flesh without any contribution from any other man whatsoever. And we need to remember this so we will recognize that we contribute nothing to Christ and his saving work. We contribute nothing but our sin, nothing but our dependency. And again, this is not just about having a proper view of salvation, saints. This is about having a proper view of Jesus and his supremacy over us. When we talk about our total dependency upon the Lord Jesus Christ, the point of that is to not encourage apathy in ourselves. If Jesus did it all, then I'm simply going to sit back and relax. That's not the point. The point of emphasizing our total dependency upon Christ is to exalt him, to exalt his supremacy over us. That's why we emphasize, that's why we declare we contribute nothing to Christ but our sin. This is why we emphasize he did it by himself. He did the work of salvation single-handedly. We don't help him. We don't assist him. We don't contribute anything to him. And he doesn't depend upon us in saving us. He does it by the means of his own flesh and blood alone. That's why Peter couldn't follow him. So you see, Peter had nothing to contribute to Jesus but his need. Peter was no help to Jesus. It was kind of Peter. We believe that Peter's love for Jesus that he expresses here, it was a sincere love. Peter was not like Judas. Judas was an utter hypocrite. We know that back from John chapter 6. Jesus knew that the whole time about Judas. Judas did not believe. That wasn't Peter. Peter did believe. Peter actually did love the Lord Jesus, albeit imperfectly, as Jesus is pointing out here. So the Lord goes on to tell Peter, again in verse 36, we're still there, you will follow me afterward. Again, Peter would not have understood what he's saying there at that point. After what? Peter didn't know. You and I know because we're on this side of the resurrection and ascension. So we know what Jesus meant after Christ's death and resurrection and his ascension and after the descent of the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts. You will follow me afterward. After Christ had died and been raised, then Peter would be equipped to follow after him and to be faithful to the Lord Jesus, following Christ's death and resurrection. And we know this. We have a better understanding of what Jesus means in his answer to Peter when he says, you will follow me afterward. He clarifies, he expounds upon that statement later on in John 21. And this is after the resurrection has happened. In John 21, this is this wonderful, beautiful moment when Peter is restored to the Lord Jesus. And Jesus tells Peter three times, if you love me, feed my sheep. And then John records this for us in John chapter 21, verses 17 through 19. Right? This conversation that took place between Peter and the Lord Jesus. This is what Peter said. This is what Jesus says to Peter there, John 21. Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go. And then John adds this parenthetical statement, which suggests to us that John wrote this gospel after Peter's martyrdom. Because John goes on to say, then he said, this he said to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. And after saying this, Jesus said to Peter, follow me. Follow me. So when Jesus here, back in John 13, says afterward, you will follow me. St. Peter, you will die for me. You will. Afterward. Afterward. What's this tell us? It tells us this, that Christ's death and resurrection was essential to Peter's own faithfulness. That Peter's was granted faithfulness through Christ. That post-resurrection, Peter was empowered, was enabled to give his life for Christ, to glorify God. And as John says, as John records, Jesus says to him, your hands would be stretched out. And tradition, it's not recorded for us in Scripture, but tradition has it that Peter was crucified and that he insisted on being crucified upside down because he did not want to be crucified in the same manner as his Lord. And again, that's tradition, not recorded in Scripture, but it would seem to be substantiated by what we read in John 21. So this is what Jesus means when he says, you will follow me afterward. Peter, you will be faithful, but first you're going to deny me. So let's think for a moment in light of what Jesus goes on to say, in light of what Peter says again, he asks the Lord Jesus a follow-up question. Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for you. Why couldn't Peter follow Jesus? It's a great question. Let's think about it for a moment. The answer is, Peter could not follow Jesus because he was incapable of the faithfulness that was required to suffer the cross. As I mentioned to you at the outset of the sermon, he did not have the capacity in his flesh, which was corrupted by sin, and his own human nature, he did not have the capacity for the level of faithfulness, the degree of faithfulness that would have been required to endure the cross. He did not have it in him. As I mentioned before, earlier, you think of a pot, a vessel, a clay vessel that has a flaw in it, and you put it in the oven, and the heat destroys it because of that flaw. That's why Peter couldn't follow Jesus, because he was flawed. Because his faithfulness would fail and did fail. And when you think about it, it wasn't that hard to get Peter's faithfulness to fail. It didn't even take him being crucified. It only took him being asked, aren't you one of his disciples? That's it. And three times he said, no. No, I'm not one of his disciples. Three times he denied the Lord Jesus Christ, proving that, yeah, Peter was a flawed vessel who cracked under pressure, who cracked under heat. And that's why he couldn't follow Jesus to the cross, because he did not have the capacity. He did not have the ability to be so faithful that he could endure the suffering that would be required to atone for the sins of the world. So even though Peter was sincere in his love for the Lord Jesus, he did not have the strength of love, if we want to think in those terms, to even acknowledge Jesus before men, let alone go to the cross. And that was proven by the fact that before that very night was over, Peter's love for Jesus would indeed fail. It would fail. And the Lord Jesus tells him so in verse 38. Again, put yourself in Peter's shoes as best as you can and try to see things from his perspective. Try to imagine hearing this question from Jesus. Will you lay down your life for me? It's a rhetorical question because Jesus goes on to give the answer. Truly, truly, I say to you, the rooster will not crow, till you have denied me three times. And this... the fact that Peter denied the Lord Jesus three times points to the completeness of Peter's weakness, of his sin, of his failure. He was given three opportunities to own Jesus. He was given three opportunities to remain faithful to Jesus, to acknowledge Jesus before men. And he failed all three of those opportunities. He denied Christ all three times, proving that he did not have the faithfulness within him, the capacity to remain faithful under pressure and under heat. And you know, this gets a question circulating in our minds. What would I do in those circumstances? Would I have done better than Peter? What do you think the answer is? Had you been in Peter's shoes, in the same context, with the same level of confusion and ignorance about the cross and about the gospel and all that was about to unfold, would you have done better? And the answer is no, none of us would. All of us would have failed just like Peter. We can rest assured in that. We all would have failed. And what should this do? What effect should that have on us? Well, it should cause us, first of all, to recognize, yes, I am not like Jesus. I am like Peter. Like I mentioned to you at the outset of the sermon, with whom do I have more in common, Peter or Jesus? Definitely Peter. Because if I had been in that situation, I'd have done like Peter did. My love for Christ would have failed. My faithfulness to him would have cracked. Would I have denied Jesus three times? Certainly. In spite of myself, in spite of my love for him, I would have done that. And I think that's something else we need to bear in mind when we begin to think about things like persecution, for example. If you have been following the Lord Jesus for any length of time, you have probably at one point or another, upon hearing about the persecution that's going on in the world, and I don't mean being called names online, I'm talking about actual physical imprisonment, threats of death, impoverishment because of your faith in Christ under a tyrannical, godless government, that kind of persecution. And I think many of us here have wondered about that. What if I were faced with such persecution? What would I do? Would I remain faithful to Christ, or would I, like Peter, deny him three times? That's a natural question to ask of ourselves, and it's a very important question to ask of ourselves. Lord forbid that we are ever subjected to persecution like the likes of which I've described, where we are afraid for our lives or the lives of our family or our well-being or their well-being. Lord forbid. So far, he has granted it to us here in our nation that we're not faced with such persecution. And we're certainly not asking for it. But as a follower of Jesus, as a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, we know what the terms are, don't we, of being one of his disciples. And what are those terms? What must we do every day, saints? We must take up our what? Our cross, which is an instrument of death. A man who takes up a cross is a man who is going to die. He's walking to his place of execution. So when Jesus says to be his disciple, to be his disciple is to take up your cross every day, it means accepting the fact that you are a man or a woman condemned to execution and that you're willing to face that fate in order to follow the Lord Jesus. You're willing, in other words, to be his disciple. You are willing to part with your own life for his sake and for his glory. Those are the terms. And recognizing that this is what Christ says to us. He says, we cannot be his disciple unless we are willing to take up our cross every day and follow him. So with the Lord Jesus having told us that this is what it means to be one of his disciples, of course we're going to ask ourselves a question. Would I be willing to die for the sake of Jesus? Or would I deny him? And here's the thing we need to wrestle through. In light of Peter and Peter's failure to remain faithful to Jesus under pressure in the heat of the moment, what we need to recognize is that left to ourselves, left to our own strength, left to our own devices, we would fail. Amen? We need to confess this about ourselves. We need to acknowledge that in our own creaturely capacities, we do not have it in ourselves to die for Jesus, just like Peter did not. We don't have it in ourselves. We might say, no, Lord, I will die for you. I'll lay down my life for you. But we've all experienced times in our lives when we have made boasts of one kind or another, and then when we find ourselves in the heat of the moment, all of a sudden, we're not able to live up to that boast. That proved to be the case for Peter. Lord, I will lay my life down for you. And the Lord's response to him, will you, Peter? So what was the difference for Peter? What changed between his denial, his threefold denial of Jesus prior to our Lord's crucifixion and resurrection, and Peter's martyrdom decades later? What was the change? Why was Peter able to remain faithful to Jesus afterward, but unable to do so beforehand? Was it because Peter himself had been improved? Was it because Peter himself had read his Bible more or prayed more or worked out more? Could deadlift more or something like this? Was it because of that? No, it was because of Jesus. It wasn't because of some perfection in Peter. It wasn't anything in Peter that changed that enabled him to remain faithful afterward. The change that happened was this: Jesus was raised from the dead, and Peter knew that. Ah, now we're beginning to see. Why is it that Peter was able to remain faithful to Jesus after the resurrection? Because of the resurrection. You see, the resurrection did something for Peter. It took away the fear of death. Having been an eyewitness of the risen Christ, Peter was therefore empowered by virtue of Christ and nothing in himself. By virtue of Christ and him alone, Peter, at the time of his martyrdom, whatever the nature of that martyrdom, whatever form it had taken, we know he was martyred. He was able to face death and overcome it because he wasn't afraid, and he wasn't afraid because Christ was risen. There's something for us to learn there, saints, when it comes to answering that question for ourselves. Would I fold under persecution or would I remain faithful to Jesus? It tells us something about where our faith needs to be directed, where and what and in whom our faith needs to be rooted if we are to remain faithful under pressure, even upon the pain of death. And the answer is that our faith must be rooted in the risen Christ and not in ourselves and not in our own strength, but in the Lord Jesus, because it's only the risen Christ who is able to free us from the fear of death, as the author of Hebrews makes so plain in Hebrews chapter 2. He sets us free from the fear of death. And when you are set free from the fear of death, then you are able to lay down your life for Christ without being overcome by fear, because it was fear that broke Peter, and it was the fear of death. We know what was going through Peter's mind when he was questioned those several times by those various men whether or not he knew the Lord Jesus and was one of his disciples. And what was going through Peter's head undoubtedly was this: I don't want them doing to me what they're doing to Jesus. I don't want them to arrest me and to beat me and to put me on trial, because I think I know where this is headed, and I don't want to lose my life. And so Peter denied out of Christ out of fear, the fear of death. That's what broke Peter. That's what overcame his love for Jesus. That's what cracked Peter, the vessel of his faithfulness. It was death and the fear of death. But once Christ had been risen, the fear of death was broken in Peter. Jesus broke that in him. So that way Peter was able to die for Christ without fear. Because Peter knew what Paul knew and what Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 6 through 8. And it is this: it is better. This is what Paul says. It is better to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. Amen? Peter knew that. Peter knew post-resurrection, with the fear of death being broken in him now through the risen Christ, Peter knew as soon as he died, he was going to be with Christ. Death had nothing over him, nothing on him because of what Jesus had accomplished. That's what changed. Jesus was raised. And after Jesus had been raised, Peter received, through Christ, the boldness to remain faithful under pressure. So saints, what does this teach us? This teaches us how important it is for us to ensure that we understand what Christ has accomplished for us in his resurrection. It's important for us to have that firmly cemented not only in our minds but also within our hearts. It's important for us to ensure that we are on a daily basis, as far as it depends upon us, directing our faith and our hope to the risen Christ. That we are living in light of that hope, the hope of being with the Lord, so that that power of death may be broken within us. If we want to ensure that if we were ever to be put under or put to the test as Peter was, and we want to, instead of doing what Peter did initially and denying the Lord Jesus three times, we want to instead do like Peter did afterward and remain faithful, then our faith, our hope, must be rooted in Christ, who is now raised and seated up above as our great high priest and is constantly interceding for us. We need to be living in daily dependency upon the risen Christ in order to be prepared to give our lives for him if necessary, so that if it comes down to it and we are put to the test, that we will not deny him, that we will not disown him, but will instead remain faithful to him. And so this is something to bear in mind. This is a very practical truth for us and a very practical application for us. Ask the question, what do I do, Pastor, if I ever find myself in a situation where I have a gun pointed at me and I'm being told that if I don't deny Christ, then I will be dispatched in the moment? What should I do? The answer is to hope in the resurrection. The answer is to remember that Christ is risen and that he has broken the power of death. That is where your mind must go. That is where your heart must go. You must meet the fear of death with the hope of Christ by appeal to his resurrection. So that way you will not live in the fear of death. So that way your faithfulness will not be broken by that fear. So that that fear instead will be broken within you through Christ and his victory over the grave. And this requires thinking upon these things, studying the Word of God, of course, living a prayerful life, practicing our dependency upon the Lord Jesus Christ, remembering his faithfulness to us. Remembering that it is through his faithfulness that we ourselves are giving victory over death. It's by his faithfulness and not our own that we are set free from the fear of death. It's because of his faithfulness that we are promised that after our bodies have died, that we will receive a warm welcome into the very presence of God and the saints in light, that we will take our place among them by virtue of Christ and his living, glorified, resurrected body. We must remember that our salvation and our own victory over death does not depend upon our own faithfulness to Christ, but upon his faithfulness to us, and that his faithfulness is unfailing. Saints, Jesus has promised to save us from death. Amen? He has told us in John 6 very clearly, starting in verse 35, going all the way to 59, whoever feeds on his flesh will not die. That's his promise. So what do you do when you're staring down the barrel of a gun and being told to deny Christ? Believe the promise. Answer death with the promise of Christ. Death, Jesus has said, whoever believes in him will not die. I believe in Jesus. Amen. So don't fear death, saints. Don't fear death. Be encouraged also. I'll close with this. Be encouraged. Again, come back to that question. What will I do if I'm ever put in Peter's shoes? And my life is threatened because of my faith in Christ. Don't be afraid, saints. Fear not. Did Jesus show up for Peter when Peter was an old man? He did. Jesus was with him. Did Jesus give Peter the strength he needed to remain faithful? Jesus did. Will Jesus do the same for the rest of us if he ever requires us to go through a similar test? Yes. He will be there. He will be with you. And so will the Holy Spirit. In that moment, if that moment ever comes, I pray it doesn't, but if it ever were to come for you, Jesus will be there. The Holy Spirit will be there. The grace of God will be there, empowering you, strengthening you to remain faithful. So trust in the Lord, hope in the risen Christ, believe his promise. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that your Son has broken the fear of death within us. We see that Peter's faithfulness to Jesus was broken by the fear of death, but Christ has broken the fear of death within us. Father, would you please help us to live as faithful disciples of your Son, not depending upon our own strength and being faithful to him, but by depending instead upon his power to break the fear of death and the power of death in our own hearts. We pray, Lord, that we would be prepared and willing to give our lives for the sake of Christ if necessary. Lord, this is not something that we relish. It's not something that we want, Lord, but we know it is possible. And so we do ask, Father, that if you ever were to require such a thing of us, we pray that in that moment you would help us to not fear death, but to believe your Son's true and trustworthy promise to us and to be faithful to him by virtue of his faithfulness to us, even upon pain of death if necessary. We ask all of these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. My beloved brothers and sisters, be encouraged by these elements on this table. Remember who has put them here. The Lord Jesus himself, this is his supper, amen? It's not our supper, it's the Lord's supper, and he died to put these elements here that represent, signify his own body and blood. And these elements signify to us, one of the things they signify is our Lord's triumph over the grave. And this is one of the things that the Lord Jesus is declaring to us through this bread and through this wine. He's declaring to us that he has overcome death. He has broken its power, and he has set us free from the fear of death. He's saying to us, church, saints, sheep, you need not fear death because of my body and my blood. Don't fear death. Its power is broken. And because of our Lord's flesh and blood, we know it's promised to us that one day, it's hard to imagine, but it's the truth because it's impossible for God to lie, one day we will scoff at death. We will say to death, as it is bound up once and for all and thrown into the lake of fire, never to rear its ugly head again, we will say, where, O death, is thy victory? Where, O death, is thy sting? Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We are looking ahead to that day through these elements. The Lord Jesus, through these elements, is directing our hope and our faith to that day of supreme triumph. So saints, eat and drink in faith in Christ, and let the power of the fear of death be broken in you. Saints, the Lord is calling us to take up our crosses and follow him. Amen? As baptized, professing Christians, that is what we are to be spending our lives doing, is taking up our crosses and following him, being willing to die for his namesake if necessary. So it's very important that we not live in the fear of death, but that we day by day live with that fear being broken within us. And again, the only way for that fear to be broken within us is through our faith and our hope in the risen Christ, who has promised that in him we will not die. So as you go back out into the world, you're going to be confronted with death, perhaps threatened with death. We are surrounded with it in this world. But as you see it, as you see its effects, don't fear it. Remember the risen Christ. Remember that day that is going to come, and it will most certainly come, when we will stand with all the saints in light, resurrected, glorified, united with Christ in a resurrection like his, and we will say to death, "Where is thy victory? Where is thy sting?" That day is coming, saints. Look forward to it and live in the light of it. Let's stand and sing the Gloria Patri. Now receive the benediction from the book of Hebrews. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good, that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Saints, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, go in peace.